Welcome to our short story series, A Walk in the Dark. I'm your host, Bob Berry. Following a terrifying experience, Eric Palmer has returned to his hometown of Boston, only to find that old haunts have followed him. This piece is entitled The Tenant. It's a reminder for all to be carefully aware of your surroundings, and particularly of all who live near you. Nothing may ever be as it seems. Eric Palmer works as a copywriter for an advertising agency with offices in New York City and Boston. After a harrowing experience and a devastating fire at his apartment complex in New York, where several people, including children, perished, he has returned to Boston. Since then, he has had recurring nightmares. At the urging of friends, he is seeking counseling with a psychologist with whom he had worked with in the past.
Nice to see you again, Eric. It has been a while.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've been back for a while, and well, I wanted to schedule an appointment sooner, but you know, finances were such.
Understand. It happens to us all. So, why are you here today?
Weird happenings.
Such as?
I'm seeing things. Ghosts, apparitions, whatever. I'm not sure what. Maybe drinking too much.
Do you think that could be part of your problem?
No, not really. On a bad day, I might have two martinis at most for lunch, but those are on stressful days only.
What about evenings?
You mean, what do I drink at night?
Yes.
Usually just a bit of wine.
A bit.
No more than two glasses before bed, all right? Look, I know you're a professional. You came highly recommended. You're good at getting into people's heads and drawing out dark things that no one else knows and adjusting them for the better, right?
I am a psychologist. I'm here to help anyone who has uncomfortable situations or problems and guide them back to perhaps a better state of mind. Let's go back to when all this started.
Look, I'm just not sure talking is going to help. Maybe another time, perhaps. No offense.
You did come back to me after all this time, Eric. Now let's work together, shall we?
Could you open the window? I feel claustrophobic. It's warm in here.
All right. Something else is bothering you. Want to talk about it?
The fire in my New York apartment building affected me greatly. I was asleep when it happened, and I barely made it out. Several people lost their lives, including six children. It was tragic for everyone involved. I couldn't bear it there any longer and returned to Boston.
I am so sorry for your experience, but I'm glad you're okay.
No, not really. I have weird feelings about what happened.
Would you like to share?
When the fire broke out, I remember hearing sirens, people yelling. It was just chaos. And as I was running for my life through the smoke, I remember passing two open doors. I heard children crying and screaming. Well, I assumed their parents were with them, so I left.
Are you blaming yourself for what happened?
No, I don't think so. But now I'm having problems at my new apartment building here. Troubling things.
Such as?
I now live at the Grand Manor Adult Community for Seniors. No kids allowed. It was fine for the first few days. Then it started.
Go on.
Shortly after I moved in, there was a gentle tapping at my door in the middle of the night. When I opened the door, nobody was there. I live in the center of the building with a long hallway extending far to the right and left. Well, I looked in both directions, nobody. Then another night, there was a tapping that was even louder. I jumped out of bed and flung the door open and looked to the right. Nobody. Then to the left, and far down the hall, some kids were sitting in a circle and giggling on the hall carpet, facing inward as if they were around a campfire. I mean, no kids are supposed to be in our building without special permission.
What did you do when you saw the children?
Well, I walked toward them, figuring they must have been responsible for the tapping. They were huddled close together and grouped in a circle. I couldn't tell if they were boys or girls or their ages because they had towels over their heads. When I came closer, I noticed that the towels were wet because they were just dripping water.
What did you do?
Well, I asked them, rather angrily, what they were doing in the building and what was up with the wet towels. A tiny female voice replied, "You'll find out." Then I told them I was going to call the police. There was no movement beneath the towels.
And then?
I walked to my apartment, and when I got to the door, I looked back, and they were gone.
Did you call the police?
No. No, I went back to bed.
Could this incident have occurred in a dream, perhaps? Maybe you were feeling a sense of guilt attached to your New York experience.
Not sure. But I didn't sleep well the remainder of that night. You know, weird dreams. Plus, I was awakened by police and fire engine sirens off and on throughout the night. Things were okay for several days. But then, early one morning, the tapping picked up again. When I opened my door, nobody. But when I looked down the hallway at the far end to the left, there was a lone figure standing with a towel over his or her head. I went back inside my apartment, grabbed my coat and briefcase, and headed for work. But now, nobody was at the end of the hallway.
An illusion, perhaps. Or may you have dreamed it? Dreams can be pleasurable, troubling, or sometimes terrifying.
I know what I saw. And then something stranger happened. As I walked from my apartment down the hallway to the elevators, I passed two apartments that had their front doors wide open. I had never seen that before. Tenants in big cities always keep their doors closed all the time, and that's true at Grand Manor.
Do you have much contact with your neighbors at Grand Manor?
Just an occasional hello.
Eric, did management of the Grand Manor ever mention the history of that building?
No. Why?
It has a history that many here would rather forget. For years, it had been called the Breckenridge. Later, it catered to low-income families. In 2007, a fire erupted from the third floor and quickly spread throughout the building. Many were killed. Fire officials blamed it on a kitchen stove being left on. Two different tenants attributed the fire to a young person sitting and smoking in the hallway.
Given me a lot to think about. I'm sorry, but I gotta leave now. I'll get back with you after I've had some time to digest some of this.
Eric, contact me if you should ever need to talk again. Please don't hesitate to call.
Eric Palmer returned to his seventh floor apartment at the Grand Manor. A reincarnation of the Breckenridge, site of one of the most devastating fires in Boston history. He walked down his hallway, noticing that the two neighbors still had their doors open. At the second door, he peered in and saw a young person staring outward with a towel over his head. Eric moved quickly to his apartment, feeling that what he saw had just been an hallucination. He had barely settled into his chair when there was a gentle knock on the door. He got up, opened the door. Nobody was there. Eric sits again, convinced that it's all in his imagination, probably tied into his guilt feelings. As he begins to read and sip his wine, the sound of fire engines and alarms continue to grow louder. He is unaware of a gentle tapping and the wisp of smoke curling beneath his door. The Tenant was written and directed by Bob Berry. The cast included Barb Weaver, Larry Adams, and Bob Berry. Original theme music by Brian Lee Wheat. Audio services provided by Village Recording, Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Bob Berry. Join us again for another unusual tale from A Walk in the Dark.